Last week, Essence Magazine announced a management change that lit up the blogosphere and set off intense debate among longtime readers. The 40-year-old publication, targeting beauty, fashion, and cultural concerns for black women, announced the hiring of a white woman as its full-time fashion director, a first for Essence, which has been owned by Time Warner since 2005. What really is at stake, asks cultural critic and professor Mark Anthony Neal about a once black-owned publication whose connection to the community is no longer what it was but remains important. For some answers today, we look at the color of change at Essence Magazine. What difference does it make to you, Essence readers? Do you care whether the new fashion director is white? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And to join the conversation, just go to our website, npr.org, and click on Talk of the Nation. Mark Anthony Neal is professor of African American Studies at Duke University. We have posted a link to his blog post on The Change. Go to that same site, npr.org. He joins us now from their studios in Durham, North Carolina. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hey, Tony, long time.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you again. So let's begin with this simple question. Why does this matter?
You know, on the one hand, the fact that this young woman is now going to be the fashion editor is not really the issue. But the change occurs, this new position occurs at a time when the political discourse in this country, call it the Obama era, really does put a lot of pressure on black institutions to carry the brunt for diversity. And so we've heard language in terms of describing, this new hiring as, it's a black institution or a black magazine showing how progressive their race politics are. And in some way, I took a, I was pushed aback by that. You know, in my mind, there's nothing really progressive historically about whites controlling, black intellectual production or black cultural production. That's been very much the history of blackness in this country, where, where we're talking about great literary magazines or newspapers and so many other different black institutions, there were always white benefactors and in some cases whites who were overseeing the production. So this is not a new phenomenon. But why is it that Essence now has to carry the bloodstained banner, if you will, for diversity in publishing, where if you look around the publishing industry and look at the numerous magazines, fashion magazines and other magazines in which it's very hard to find, major editorial input coming from black editors, and there's no public outcry about that, but yet there's going to be public outcry when folks are critical of the fact that Essence Magazine decides to hire a white editor.
Is it legitimate to ask that? Well, let me put it this way. What if we argue that the new hire, I think her name is Eliana Placas, if I am saying it correctly, is simply the best person for the job?
That's a legitimate claim. And on the one hand, Essence can hire whoever they want to do whatever they want. But the history of Essence suggests a different kind of trajectory. I mean, the reason why, Essence was important when it launched in the early 1970s. And again, this is coming on the heels of the civil rights movement, more importantly, the heels of the black arts movement. And this was really the first time that you had a major national periodical that was run by black folks, editorial staff was black, in which they could dictate how America was going to view black beauty and black fashion. The idea of black beauty, was a very treacherous site, for battles historically, obviously, for black folks, particularly for black women in terms of skin color and hair and all these range of issues. And Essence coming on the scene meant that suddenly there would be black input in terms of how blackness would be presented into the public sphere. I think what we've seen with Essence, particularly since, Time Warner buys that first 49% back in 2000, of course, completing the sale, the purchase in 2005 with the final remaining 51%, is that systematically we've seen a different editorial direction for Essence Magazine, which is fine. Corporate entities that want to present black theme magazines or television networks like BET, it's fine for them to do that. But it's also fine for black audiences, or black readers who've had a very different relationship with Essence. I begin my piece talking about my introduction to Essence as a 15 or 16 year old in the 1980s. I picked up Essence as a young man simply because there were pretty black women in the magazine. And to be quite honest, there were few places where I could find pretty black women as represented as they were, except for a magazine like Essence. But, you know, I first read of, you know, folks like Audre Lorde and James Baldwin. You know, I first read about the exploits of Stokely Carmichael. It's first introduced to Louis Farrakhan, of all people, you know, in Essence magazine. And I think Essence, at some point, really became more representative of Black America's magazine than even, you know, Ebony magazine, you know, the old veteran had been. And I think systematically, you know, over the years, we've seen a shift from that, and particularly since Time Warner has taken over. And again, the Time Warner moment, you know, reflects a broader trend, you know, where you have Viacom buying back BET.
Right.
And
right.
So part of what I was responding to is that, you know, this is really not a moment for outrage. You know, Essence magazine has long not really been the magazine it was for Black America.
Well, hold that thought, because I want to let people get the number and join in on the conversation. This is Talk of the Nation. We're talking about Essence magazine, which hired a new white fashion director, and it's gotten a lot of people, well, talking about it. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a ring at 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. One of the things that you mentioned, Mark Anthony Neal, is that you read it, even though the magazine was created not for males like you and me,
but for 15-year-old boys,
for females. And I understand that. And so in a way, we are at a disadvantage even talking about this. But how do you believe that the magazine will change from what it is now because of the new fashion director, or will it?
I think, you know, the editorial direction of Essence over the last 5 years has been set. I don't think anything is going to dramatically change. From everything I hear, this is a talented woman. In the world of meritocracy, perhaps she deserved the job. You know, again, I don't have a problem with that. I think we are, though, at a particular historical moment where, you know, we really don't have to have the kind of public outcry about this hire at this point in time, because there really are so many more opportunities for Black women and for Black fashion at this particular time because of the internet, you know, because of social media, because of the blogosphere. One great example, you know, the one online magazine that really broke the story, you know, Clutch Magazine. You know, Clutch Magazine has been a great opportunity. I mean, Felicia Pride wrote about this in her Loop 21 piece last Friday.
Yes, she did.
You know, this is offering a great opportunity for women who may have been constricted, you know, at a vehicle like Essence. And the internet is offering this kind of wild moment for folks to actually reimagine ourselves in that regard. So I think, you know, I think this hire gets read very differently if it was 15 years ago.
You know,
part of what I'm saying to Black America now is that, okay, it's been done. This really hasn't been our magazine for a decade. You know, let's just move on, you know.
All right.
Michaela,
well,
I'll
tell you what, let's get a call. We have a caller coming in from Beaufort, South Carolina. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name, so if I get it wrong, I apologize in advance. Is it Jubisa?
Jubisa.
Okay, Jubisa. Yes. Welcome to Talk of the Nation. Finally, a female voice that can give us another perspective. If Mark and I are doing the best that we can, what do you have to say about this, Jubisa?
Well, I grew up with Essence magazine. I remember when Essence magazine was one of those prizes that the winners from Soul Train Scramble Board would win, and I remember they would always say for today's Black women, and so I have to be honest, when Essence was sold to CBS, and then I was disappointed, and then there was a change in the magazine. It was a change in the appearance. It seemed to have more advertisers once it went to CBS, and then I was one of those people. I don't subscribe. I'm not one of those people that subscribe, so I can't call in protest in my subscription. But I was disappointed, and it felt like we had given something away. And I don't doubt this woman's qualifications, but I think there is a perspective that a Black female will bring to that magazine that maybe a white female will not bring just because she is white. And maybe times are changing. I'm from that old school, but my heart sank. It just really kind of sank to learn that they've hired this woman. And I'm sure there were so many Black women that were just as qualified for that position that I think could have been given such an opportunity.
Jubisa, thank you for that call. By the way, it wasn't CBS that bought them. It was Time Warner.
She made
a point that, let me ask you, I can't speak on behalf of Time Warner, certainly, or Essence Magazine, but she, Jubisa, was saying she was an example of someone who had left the fold. So she's already off the books, so to speak, as far as Essence Magazine would have been concerned. And if there were others like them, what alternatives does a magazine have to try to build new readership and get the ads, which are the source of revenue for them, by not trying something different when they lose people like her?
you know, the reality is that, you know, blackness is cutting edge American culture at this point in time. And I'm sure part of the thinking at an Essence magazine, even though it's a magazine explicitly directed towards black women, is to expand the audience for Essence in that regard. You've seen many entities do that over the last 15 years. I mean, that's part of what the focus on urban culture is. You know, what we call urban culture 30 years ago, you know, was black, you know, in 2010. It's multicultural, it's diverse, it's multi-ethnic. And I'm sure in order to survive in this kind of environment, you know, Essence and Time Warner felt that the editorial direction should really push more towards that kind of urban look as opposed to specifically dealing with black women's issues. Mm-hmm. You know, on the other side, I mean, part of what we've seen also in terms of the editorial content of Essence vis-a-vis black women is that, you know, some of the messages consistently, you know, directed towards black women in the magazine are that, you know, there's something wrong with you. You know, you're less than something. And the magazine becomes this whole process, almost a self-help, you know, entity for black women to recover themselves. And you know, given all the narratives these days about black women being unmarriable, you know, Essence has been kind of on the front line of pitching these arguments about what's wrong with black women and why don't black men like you.
Well, let's take another call. We have Elizabeth from Cleveland, Ohio. Elizabeth, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, I wanted to comment on two things. One is your guest said there are no strong black voices in fashion right now, and I think that she's forgetting Andre Leon Talley, who's probably the most powerful voice in American fashion at this moment from his position at Vogue, mm-hmm. and also mm-hmm. an incredible...
But he's not a fashion editor. Now, I got you, but he's not a fashion editor.
But his influence is tremendous amongst the fashion industry in the United States. And secondly, I wanted to say, if this were reversed, I understand tradition is hard to break, but if this were reversed and a black woman was hired for traditionally to a magazine that had where that position had been held by a white woman forever, there would be accusations of racism, and I understand the difficulties here, but aren't we supposed to be hiring according to who's the best person for the job in the United States and not according to race, no matter what the job is?
You know, that's an interesting point that you raise, Elizabeth. Thank you for the call. I am not an expert on this, and Neil, I don't know whether you are or not, but have there not been African-American women who have been hired at fashion magazines in editorial managing positions?
Not as managing editors. I mean, they've been in other different positions, obviously. I mean, there clearly has been, you know, black bodies at various institutions that have endpoint, but none with the kind of creative control that black women knew they could get at someplace like Essence. I mean, part of Harriet Cole, when she appeared on the Today Show this weekend, I mean, part of her argument about the importance of Essence, that Essence became a training ground for many black women and black professionals who were not going to get those opportunities, you know, in mainstream publications. I mean, the history of the black press in this country, whether we're talking about the black press, historically black colleges and universities or black newspapers, is that it was a training ground in journalism and reporting for generations of black folks because they didn't have those opportunities, you know, at mainstream white institutions. I think part of, you know, what the Obama era has done is that we get the end piece of the story, right? So we're wondering, how come a black magazine, you know, why is it a big deal for a black magazine to hire a white woman at this point in time when the whole larger history, you know, has been very rarely have there been even black entities running black institutions at this point in time?
And we see that there are changes in media of all sorts, not just at black fashion magazine. BET certainly was an example of that, and there are others as well. We have another caller. This is Michael from New York. Michael, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hey, good afternoon. I've been a fashion designer for over 30 years, and there has always been a major difference between black style and white style. When I first started out, we always used to look at Essence magazine to see what was the current trends and styles that black women were wearing and tried to adapt them to something that white women would wear. I agree with one of your previous callers that having a white woman, regardless of her credibility, her talent, she's not black. And if Essence is to remain something that is for the black community, then I believe its fashion designer should be black.
So do you think then, based on what you're saying, that this new editor is likely to take the fashion design strategy, if you will, in a different direction at Essence?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell, but I can't imagine that any white fashion designer who has gone through the educational process that she did, the training process that she did, is going to have her thumb on what the black style is. In the same manner that some forms of music are more represented by certain ethnic groups, it's the same type of thing. I don't necessarily know that it's good or bad, but I can't imagine. I certainly don't know a single woman, and I've been in the business for over 30 years, that I would have recommended to any black fashion house or black periodical as their fashion editor.
Michael, thank you very much for the call. Our time is running really short, Mark. What are we to make of this in 30 seconds or less? Is it a tempest in a teapot? Is it going to pass over, or is it going to get bigger?
I think it passes over. Essence Magazine is owned by Time Warner. Time Warner is going to make the decisions that it thinks it needs to make to maintain and increase circulation and to put the right product out there. I think, you know, Michaela Angela Davis said it well. Her first response was that it's like a girlfriend has died. And, you know, I end my piece with the idea, yeah, girlfriend has died. And we need to mourn her and lament it. That she's left, but we need to move on. And I think there are so many other opportunities for us to talk about black culture and black fashion and black imagery, you know, that cyberspace offers us now, that we don't really have to go on and debate the meaning of Essence. You know, Essence has moved on for a while. Editorial direction, you know, was cemented a decade ago.
All right, our time is run. Yeah. As you can hear the music in the background saying we've got to continue. It's been a good conversation, though, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Mark Anthony Neal is professor of African American Studies at Duke University. His blog is newblackman.blogspot.com. There's a link at npr.org. He joined us from Duke Studios in Durham. And tomorrow, why preachers and rabbis and ministers are so much more likely to suffer from obesity, high blood pressure, and depression. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Tony Cox.